In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Good morning to everybody out there. This is the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN on this fine Saturday morning. Nice and crisp and cool out there, isn't it, man? The weather changed. I think it was on Thursday. It flipped. Wednesday was super nice. Got up to about 72 degrees. I know I was at a soccer tournament. Yes, I just mentioned soccer on my radio show. Soccer tournament for most of the day on Wednesday. Actually wore short sleeves out there, and then it flipped. The weather flipped on Thursday morning. Got really cold. Well, Central Valley cold. Not super cold like it is around the continental United States, certain places. But, anyways, this is a great Saturday. We have a great show lined up for you guys here on 1430 ESPN. I am your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports on Blackstone Avenue, just south of Herndon, north of Sierra, I guess you can say, on the east side of Blackstone. This is where I've done my show since day one. Letterman's Jacket Room is where I hang out. There's already been, I've counted five different people in here since the store opened at 9 o'clock. Doing the Letterman's Jacket thing, getting embroidered, getting size, all that cool stuff. This is the only place where you get your Letterman's Jacket. So come down here, First String Sports. They do an awesome, awesome job here. Also want to mention Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating. They do a great job of sponsoring our student athletes here on 1430 ESPN. It's going to be a high of 59 degrees. So, again, nice, crisp, and cold. Sweatshirt weather, so to speak. And right now it's 43 degrees. What's going on today? All right. Tons and tons of good stuff. I do want to mention, too, I got one more show this month, I should say, or this calendar year, before I hit a couple-week break, taking off December 23rd and December 30th. Been going full steam ahead since August. So, yeah, I'm going to go on a little vacation during Christmas break. I'm a teacher, so I get those nice 3 weeks off. I get 3 weeks off for my Christmas break. So, yeah, take a couple-week break. Come back and hit you guys back in January, and hit the ground rolling again. Basketball season will be in full force. League play will pretty much be starting. I think it's that following week after I come back in January. Really looking forward to the vacation, and I'm going to miss talking about high school sports. But one more show next week. It'll be a year in review, wrap up our high school state championship football games. Will be decided by then. I'll get to the teams in just a second. But what's coming on the docket today? After the break, we're talking with San Joaquin Memorial boys basketball coach Brad Rosnovsky. He's a friend of the show. He is more than willing to come on whenever I ask him. So last night, he had a tough one, right? The San Joaquin Memorial Panthers played Clovis West. A little bit of argument who's the top boys team in the Central Section, St. Joseph from the coast or Clovis West. I'm leaning more towards Clovis West. They looked strong last night. Memorial did a good job. They cut it down to 62-60. I think we're down 13.5. And, they made a nice run in the third quarter. Clovis West pulled away for an 81-69 win. Always a great conversation with Coach Roz. You know, they're the defending state champs, D2 state champs. Had that great run last year, figured out. Their ball club is right there as well. They got a lot of really good pieces. After that, so around 10:35, I'm super excited. I've been waiting since the beginning of when I got my radio show to talk to Paul Leffler. And I texted him about 3 weeks ago. I said, Paul, I got a couple open dates. Love to have you on for some long segments. He was all in. He said, more than happy to help you, Paulie. So I'm coming on the show. He's coming live here at First String Sports for two segments. Not one, but two segments. 10:35-ish is going to be segment number one, and we're going to be hitting Fresno State football, Fresno State basketball. What went right this season for the Bulldogs? What went wrong? How can they right the ship? How important is this bowl game next Saturday, the 16th? Why did the team fall off the rails for those last three games, right? I mean, a lot of chatter about that. And, of course, the health of Coach Jeff Tedford. You know, he's not privy to any inside information, as far as his health. And I know Coach Tedford's a very private person. So, you know, we are very, very concerned about Coach Tedford and his health moving forward. That's number one. Talking about the basketball team as well. You know, Coach Justin Hudson, a lot of chatter about him and his future as well. And, you know, Paul's a basketball junkie, just like me. And he's right on court side for the games. And, you know, actually after segment number two, I'm going to mention that and talk about that in just a second. But he's got to go to Save Mart Center because he's got to get ready for his pregame. The Bulldogs play at 4 o'clock against Pacific this afternoon. So he's got some duties. But I'm happy to have him for segment number one, talk all Bulldogs. And I do have a fun little game. Paul Leffler is really into high school mascots. Hear him talk about that a lot. You can mention some random high school in, like, Kansas. For some reason, he knows the mascot. So we're going to play a little fun little game at the end of the segment about mascots, some of the history of mascots. There's a couple really interesting ones that I'm excited to share with you guys and see if Paul knows the answer to what mascots they are. So in segment number two, about 11:05 or so, a little bit more personal stuff with Paul, like who are his favorite, you know, how did he get started, right, in the broadcasting world? Who are his favorite Bulldogs of all times? Has there been some athletes that have absolutely wowed them? I mean, he's seen you know, probably everything under the sun as far as athleticism. So I'm getting Paul Leffler for two segments live here at First String Sports. Really, really looking forward to that. Hope you guys are able to listen. The bottom of hour number two, my partner in crime, Gabe Camarillo, and I are going to be chatting it up, all things Central Section high school sports. We were able to broadcast last night's game, Clovis West and Memorial. We're doing tonight's game, championship, Clovis West against Intercombe. Like, where the heck is Intercombe? That sounds made up. No, it's a school up north in the Sacramento area, and they got some dudes. They got, like, what, 6'7", 6'8", 6'10". They were really able to alter a lot of shots over the last couple games that we've been able to witness for ourselves. So it's going to be a pretty tough matchup tonight for Clovis West in the championship game of their Nike Invitational. All right, that's what's happening today. I want to mention a few things before we hit the break. I guess I got about 5 or 6 minutes. State championship games going on. 11 o'clock is when Strathmore and Bell Gardens are going to be playing at Pasadena City College. A couple interesting things about this. First, we know about Coach Jeremy Blackwell for Strathmore. He's on the show after they won the Central Section Championship over Mendota. And, he was over the moon. And he's got an incredible, incredible story in case you haven't heard. He had a near-death experience this summer. He suffered heat stroke about 105 degrees outside. He admitted he made a huge mistake. He's like, I probably should have stayed inside and not barbecued and mowed the lawn. Yeah, that was probably mistake number one. But he had a heat stroke, fell, and was laying in like this layer of mud, so to speak, for a couple hours. And his wife finally, man, I haven't seen my husband in a while. I went out and checked on him and called the ambulance, and he was in a self-induced coma for 8 days, came out of it, had to build up his strength. He told me by about week 6 against Orosi is when he finally felt back to his old self and the great run that they have. So, yeah, I mean, they're going to be kicking off during the show. So we'll try to keep tabs on that game, 11 o'clock, Strathmore Bell Gardens. Interesting thing about that, Strathmore, you know how many students they have in their school? Well, according to the internet's 334. Bell Gardens, 2,500? What's up with that? Where's the competitive equity in that? Division 7A, it's literally the lowest divisions for the smallest of small schools. So how are they playing a school with 2,500 kids? Just under 2,500. Does not make sense at all. Heck, go Spartans in that one for darn sure. In Division 4A, later on again at Pasadena City College, Palma, they are 10-4. They're going to be playing Mission Oak. They are 10-5. What a great run that they have had under Coach Marty Martin, who coached here at Clovis West for a year. They play. They kick off at 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock. So I'll be talking with Gabe Camarillo about that. He's had a couple conversations with Marty Martin about the Mission Oak team, and they beat Kerman in the Central Section Championship game. Great run for those guys, man. I think they were the 4 seed or 5 seed in our Central Section playoffs, maybe the 3 seed, but yeah, what a great run for them, kicking off at 3 o'clock. And then Division 2A, Los Gatos, 12-2, playing Central Valley Christian. They are 14-1. Those 14 wins are the most in Visalia school history. They kick off at 7 o'clock. I'll be watching that game. Well, I don't know. We're doing the basketball game. Gabe and I are calling the championship basketball game tonight at 7. So there might be a chance we have one of our phones on watching that game a bit. But what a credible run for CVC, the Cavaliers. Bryson Donaldson, the guy is an absolute dude. Fresno State commit. He's having one of the great seasons in Central Section history, guys. He's only 347 yards away from breaking the all-time Central Section record for rushing yards in a season. That record's held by Edgar Segura. I remember that kid. He had an incredible run he had at Mendota. In 2013, he had 3,460 yards. Bryson's leading the state in touchdowns with 55. 55 touchdowns this season. 45 of them are rushing. He's got that one kickoff return for a touchdown last week against Simi Valley. The guy's a dude. Guy's a dude. Thanks to Central Section historian Bob Barnett for providing that info. Yeah, one of the great Central Section seasons in history for darn sure. Hope they cap it off with the state championship tonight at 7 o'clock. In other football news, Bullard. Bullard got their guy, if you haven't heard. Bullard got their new football coach, Lewis Franken, who's been the offensive coordinator at Clovis West for the last couple years. He's been a head coach at Tokay, South Lake Tahoe as well. Yeah, he got the job. It was announced yesterday from Bullard High School. You know, a lot of us out there know what happened with Coach Don Arax, and he was let go in the middle of the football season. He was an icon at Bullard. Very difficult decision for the Bullard administration. You know, it's a lot of talking points in that one, but they're hoping to get Coach Franklin in on campus as soon as possible. He's a special ed teacher, so he's going to have a job there on campus, and get their guy in and get it rocking and rolling. So it's going to be an interesting transition, and Clovis West and Bullard play in the future. That's going to also make for a very interesting game. So I mentioned also the Gabe and I are going to be broadcasting the Clovis West and Intercom championship game tonight, 7 o'clock tip off at Clovis West. I expect that gym to be packed. Last night, tons and tons of people. It was really good to see. I also want to mention there is a basketball player at Sanger, Krista Schaefer, who's having an amazing season right now. I want to give some love to her and the Apache program. She opened last week by scoring 35 points and tied a Central Section record by making all 15 of her free throws and had 12 rebounds when Sanger beat Roosevelt 56-55, close one in that one. That was back on November 28th. So she's going to be in the state record book because she made 7 free throws the next game. So that's, 15 plus 7, 22 free throws in a row. So that's going to be in the state record book. In the third game of that week, she scored 23 points, grabbed 12 rebounds. Sanger beat Selma. She's leading the section with an average of 33 points a game. So congratulations to her on that one. All right, well, coming up after the break, we're going to be talking with Coach Ross, San Joaquin Memorial basketball coach. After that, we got Paul Leffler. Super fun show today. Very excited about it. Thank you guys for tuning in. We're live here at First String Sports on 1430 ESPN.
Listen to Sportsline, the Bulldog Hour, every weekday at 2 p.m.
Forgot to mention this in my opener. Got a cool story, man. A couple local kids are going to be on the big stage on Monday, January 1st, 5:45, when Texas takes on Washington. Two of the best wide receivers in Central Section history, man. Xavier Worthy of Texas, Jalen McMillan of Washington. You know, Xavier Worthy, Central, right? Jalen McMillan, San Joaquin Memorial. They're going to be facing off against each other. And these are dudes. These are like fifth or sixth or seventh best receivers on the team. They are the top flight receivers. I know Jalen McMillan's been hurt a lot this year. He's able to come back and play in the championship game against Oregon. But I can't wait to watch these guys, man. We puff up with pride when we see our guys on the national stage. We see Fresno, California, or Central High School, San Joaquin Memorial High School. We love that stuff. We know what Kendall Milton did the last few years from Buchanan, his national titles with Georgia. Did they get? I don't know, man. Are they one of the top four teams? I think they are. So, unfortunately, Kendall won't be able to get a third, which is crazy, national championship ring. But what a great story with those two guys. And you know, speaking of San Joaquin Memorial, we got Coach Brad Rosnowski, friend of the show, as always, a head coach of the Panthers, defending state champions, always have his excellent program. So Coach Roz, when you see, you know, Jalen on the big stage, I mean, you were privy to watch him on the football field. Did you ever have a chance to try to get him on the basketball court?
Yeah, he actually, Paul, played freshman basketball for us his freshman year, obviously, and he quit about halfway through. He was playing and he was doing okay, but I think he just figured, you know, I think football's my future and this is really not what I want to do. So, but yeah, he ended up playing. Great kid and super, super talent, obviously, and love to see him having so much success at the next level.
Absolutely. So first of all, Brad, welcome to the show. Always appreciate you having you. We kind of missed over that part, but always appreciate you having you on, my friend.
No, thanks, Paul. You're do a great job and become a good friend of mine, and I love what you guys do, and keep up the great work. I think it's great for our kids all over the valley.
Thank you. I appreciate that. One of the things I love about you is before a game, I could go up and talk to you till about the 2 minute mark before the tip off, and then I'm like, okay, it's time for me to go. Time for you to coach up your team. So I always appreciate that about you. So let's talk a little bit about last night. You guys absolutely know what you were up against in Clovis West. It was a semifinal game. Very well could have been the championship game, and it had championship game vibes. You guys lost. I said 81-69 in the opener. 81-67. You guys found yourself down at halftime, but you had a great third quarter, cut the lead to 62-60. They hit a three to make it a 5-point game, and then Clovis West, went on for the victory. But, you know, what were some of your takeaways from last night's game? Obviously, you're a highly competitive guy. You want to win the basketball game, but what were some of your main takeaways from the game?
Yeah, I have to say, first off, Paul, going into the game, we felt really good. And we know we're up against, you know, on their home floor. They don't lose there. They're so well coached. Top 10 in the state early on. What are they, 8-0, 9-0 now? But with all that said, we didn't fear them. We felt like if we could compete and have a chance at the end, you know, we could maybe, you know, pull off the upset. But, you know, it's just we made too many mistakes, and I'm not happy about it. There's no moral victories here on my end and my team. And I let my team have it after the game because we did not play well. You know, Abe kind of kept us in it that third quarter, but, you know, little mistakes. Abe Potts hits a three. We're down to 5.5, 6 minutes to go. And then we inexplicably lose Jackson Young. And our goal was to keep him and Ardisno, I think I'm pronouncing that right, number two, you know, try to keep them at bay because they're such elite shooters. And inexplicably, we lose Jackson Young. He hits a wide open three. Now it's five, and the floodgates kind of open. So you just can't make those kind of mistakes. And, you know, I keep hearing, I got a lot of texts, a lot of phone calls. Well, Coach, you're young. That's just not an excuse for us. We are young with one senior, but, you know, we trust our young kids. And obviously, we just didn't get it done last night. Too many mistakes.
Yeah, you're talking about that possession where you had cut it to two, and you played great defense for for that entire next possession. You got down to the wire, and yeah, Clovis West made that pass to Young, and you know, pretty much at the buzzer, he hits that shot. But you know, you mentioned Abram Potts, how he played super well last night. He scored 23 in the game. I believe he had 4 3-pointers and 13 points in that third quarter. He was doing, you know, step back 3-pointers and, you know, fade away 15 footers. You know, he's one of those kids that you need to make the leap this year because you lost a couple really good players from last year's team, but you're always looking for guys to improve and to step up. So going from a sophomore to junior year, he showed it last night, didn't he?
He really did, Paul. He was our sixth guy last year, and he could have easily been better for us, but, you know, we brought him off the bench for most of the year and still averaged about 8 to 10 last year, hit some big shots in the – state championship game. And obviously we're looking at him different this year, be more of a scorer, more of a defender. And so far early on, he's really, you know, led up to that calling from us.
Yeah, and, you know, I thought your players, you mentioned, Brad, that you guys weren't intimidated by anybody. And I felt like that showed out there. Your guard play was really good and quick. And, you know, Sadu played a really good game as well. You know, the pieces of this year's team, I felt like they kind of know their role, so to speak. Obviously, there's a lot of basketball left in the season. And, you know, I always want to improve like you guys did exponentially last year. But, you know, who are some of the other players that you have big expectations for this year?
Yeah, you know, obviously Abe and Julius. And Julius wasn't great last night, and he's the first one to come after the game and just said, "Coach, I got to be better." And, you know, that's the kind of kid that he is, that he knows. You know, I think he finished with 11, 6, and 5, which it's not terrible, but he missed a couple of bunnies. He had an open three that, I think when Wes went on their run, we could have cut it back to four, and he missed it. It was long. So, you know, obviously Julius is right there with Abe as a guy. And Dre's just the guy that kind of fits a role for us. You know, he can shoot the deep ball, but, he's going to have to guard the post and score down low. And the other two starters, Sadu and Spies, are both sophomores. And, you know, they didn't play much last year at all. And we're looking for, you know, we're kind of throwing them in the fire, and they responded. And, you know, we come off the bench with a couple of freshmen and a couple more sophomores. So, you know, we're throwing these kids in the fire, other than really Dre, Abe, and Julius. And we play 8, 9 kids. Those are the only three with a lot of experience. And Silas and Rodriguez, of course. But like I said, no excuses here. The young kids just got to get better, and I know they will.
Yeah, and you know, like I mentioned, it was a great atmosphere last night. It's always a great atmosphere at that Clovis West tournament. I got to admit, Coach, it's one of my favorite things of the entire year. I mean, not only to get to watch basketball and talk about basketball on the radio, but that's food, man. That food spread is amazing. I take advantage of it. I'm on first-name basis with those ladies. I'm like, what's today? Mac and cheese. All right, load me up, ladies. I'm good to go. But what do you enjoy most about that tournament? I just love, you know, when coaches get together and talk about their team, and, you know, you get some of these old-school guys that show up and know the history of Central Section, so you chat on them a bit. And Bob Barnett is there, our Central Section historian. To me, it's just I just love it. That's kind of my element. How about yours?
Yeah, Paul, it's the seventh year in a row. I think we've lost in that semifinal game with Clovis West 5 years out of the seven. But with that said, you know, you have coaches, you have media, you and Gabe and Paul Hernandez and all you guys are there. It's great just talking. And the officials, you get to kind of intermingle with them because, you're used to kind of talking to them on the court and maybe not agreeing with the call. And and now you kind of got to have a meal and a soda pop with them there. So yeah. Bob Barnett, you mentioned, and Vance does such a remarkable job. And, you know, I love it. I have the entry fee you got to pay, but, you know, I get to play great teams and not have to go out and spend a bunch of money on hotels. So that's even better in that aspect. So, yeah, it's a great local tournament, and he's got a really good field this year with Intercom coming. You know, Whitney came from, I know they're not doing great in it, but came from up north, and obviously BCHS. And so, he put together a great field every year.
So what's the rest of December look for you guys as a basketball team? What other tournaments are you guys playing in or showcases?
Yeah, so next week we'll go to Clayton Valley Charter, who's a really, really great program led by Franco Lacco Jr. I don't know, remember his dad was – Frank Locke was the guy that was at De La Salle for all those years, De La Salle basketball. But his son puts on a great tournament. So we'll go there next week. And, you know, I like going up there, Paul, because, you know, Folsom's in our bracket, Clayton Valley Charter. There's some good team. Actually, Buchanan's in the tournament, too. So, you know, we've been going up north for state playoffs the last few years. So it's nice to go up there, kind of get a feel, maybe talk to some people about some teams up there, play maybe somebody might play in state playoffs. So I like that, and then we'll come back and have finals, and then we'll go to the Damien Classic, which is going to be our fourth year in a row, and what a special tournament over there. I mean, it's as big as field ever, 8 brackets, and just an amazing tournament that Frank Burleson and Michael Duke put on. So we'll do that, And then we got, you know, we'll come back in January. We play Garces. We got two great showcase games. We get to play at Crypto Arena and play St. Bernard with Trevor Ariza's kid. And then we'll come in and here, right here in Fresno, get to play Modesto Christian at the Pagmeter Showcase that John Penberthy will put on. So, yeah, we got an incredible schedule in our league. I mean, I was talking to not even you or somebody, Gabe, or I think the CMAC is really good this year. You know, Edison's good, Sanger, Bullard, you know, we're going to be in the mix. You know, so I think the CMAC is hopefully it's not getting overlooked. I think it's a really good league. So we got some tough games, man, but we look forward to it.
No, you're absolutely right. So actually CMAC begins in exactly 1 month on January 9th, 2024. 2024 just sounds like a weird number, man. I can't believe we're in that year already. Shouldn't we have flying cars already, like Back to the Future? It's just so strange to see that number. But, Coach, I got one more question for you. I got one more show before I get a couple weeks off. But, you know, Christmas theme, right? You got a favorite Christmas movie that's like your family go-to? Christmas Story, Elf, Christmas Vacation, something like that?
Well, first of all, yeah, I do. It's, but I just, Christmas is such a special time for me. I have daughters that live out in Dallas, and one of them's pregnant, so she can't fly. She's due in the mid to late January, so my son and I are gonna go out there and spend Christmas. I'll have to make it quick for me and fly back because we play, but I'm really looking forward to being with my family out there and looking forward to being grandpa soon. But to answer your question, Paul, is it National Lampoon's Christmas?
Yeah.
It's the Chevy Chase one.
Yeah.
That's my favorite. It's old school, but you know, Uncle Eddie and everybody, and the turkey was dry. I guess it didn't work out. You know?
Yeah, snots the dog under the table, yakking up a bone.
Yeah, I'll flip on the TV and see that, and I'll watch it. I could be doing it in the middle of time, but I'm putting that thing on watching it. So I know there's some other special ones and more lighthearted ones, but that's a pretty comical one.
No, it is. Yeah, that's an instant classic for sure. I love watching that one. All right, Coach, always great to run into you and talk to you, and I'm sure I'll see you tonight. You guys are playing. You get to ask you. You guys are playing Bakersfield Christian at 5:30. I will definitely see you there. Have a great couple hours, Coach, before you guys head on over there, I'm sure. But always great to catch up to you. I'll see you soon.
Awesome, Paul. Thanks. Appreciate it.
All right, Paul Leffler. Coming on. Here he is. He's walking in. We're going to take a little bit of a break and get to Paul in just a second on 1430 ESPN.
1430 ESPN, home of March Madness. Carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
All right, welcome back to Central Valley Sports Report. I am your host, Paul Betters. Live here at First String Sports, Blackstone Avenue, just south of Herndon. All right, been waiting a long time for this. We got Paul Leffler in the house, voice of Fresno State Bulldogs, football, basketball, baseball, Scripps Spelling Bee, host of the producer of Hometown Heroes, co-founder, board president, Central Valley Honor Flight. Paul, thanks for coming on, man. This is a big pleasure for me. This is something I've been wanting to do for a long time. You know, the voice of the Bulldogs. You have your presence everywhere throughout the Central Valley. You've affected so many people. So, first of all, thanks for joining us live here at First String Sports.
Hey, happy to be here. This is an impressive place. And seeing all the Letterman jackets, man, I wish I would have brought mine. I couldn't find it this morning. I was thinking, you know, it's this place where you get your Letterman jackets. It's a high school day at the Save Mart Center. All high school students get in free for Fresno State and Pacific this afternoon at 4 if you've got that student ID. But I couldn't find the Letterman's jacket.
Well, the color scheme would be the same as what? We figured out Clovis West, a little bit different?
Yeah, Cardinal and gold, baby. Center of the universe, Los Banos, California, back when it was a one-school town.
I love that. So what sports did you play? What's decorating your Letterman's jacket?
Well, I played basketball and baseball. My parents would never let me play football, but that's how I started announcing when I was 12. So there's a few patches and pins on there. We won the section in baseball my senior year. I've got a band patch on there, too. Did that for 4 years. Yeah, there's a few.
You got Leffler on the back,
on
the back, right?
Yeah.
Nice
and
curved.
94 on the sleeve for the year I graduated, yeah.
So you are a big basketball guy. You and I have shot some hoops together. Have you gotten any shots up this week?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we played Tuesday morning, Thursday morning. Good run.
How you feeling these days?
Good. Depends on who I'm guarding, you know. What's neat, the game that I play in every Tuesday and Thursday morning for the last 20-something years, we bring in guys my age, older than me, younger than me. So we had a 13-year-old out there who's playing for Clovis North and plays before school. We've got a starter from Central's team who's out there playing with us. We've got guys who made money playing overseas, former Bulldogs, and guys in their 50s and 60s. So it's a good mix and good guys.
So I've seen a few clips in the past. I haven't seen any recently, but sometimes when you're on the road, if you're setting up to call a game, see a basketball lying there and nobody's around to tell you no, you go out there and try to hit a couple half court shots.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. You get a feel for it. You know, just like Cam and I play catch on the football field where we go and get a feel for the conditions. It's fun to shoot in some arenas, and probably the best memory of that was at Air Force one year. During baseball season, I snuck into their gym, and I knew the altitude would make the ball go farther. So I threw it from one free throw line, to the opposite end of the floor, and made it on, my third or fourth try because the altitude helps the ball go further. But I usually, at our shoot-arounds here, we'll have one today. I'm not dressed for it today. I had to put my suit on early, but, when the team's done with the shoot-around and they all take their half-court shots, I'll go out there and I'll count how many shots it takes me to make the half-court shot.
It's usually, what, three? A third one, fourth one?
Last game it was seven. I have made it on the first a couple times. Usually it's in the first five, but there's been as many as, 23, 24 on a bad day.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Not like Air Force.
But you don't give up. You just don't give up.
No, you can't.
Yeah.
And you do a walk-off, too, when you make it. You kind of know it, right? And you got to do your walk-off. I've been there many times. All right. We're going to talk about football and basketball, Fresno State. So, let's reflect on the Bulldogs. On the Bulldogs football season, there's the new year, there's the New Mexico Bowl next Saturday. All right, 2:45, interesting kickoff time, right? 2:45. All the ups and downs of this year, starting off 8-1. We know what happened the last three games. Coach Tedford's health, just lots of moving parts in the season. What's the best way for everybody to frame the season, or even for you, what's the best way to frame it?
That's a good question. I think Saturday will have something to do with that, because if they don't turn it around and they lose a fourth straight game to end the season, it's going to feel a lot like 2005 did, when the Bulldogs are so close to knocking off the power in college football down at the Coliseum and then couldn't win a game the rest of the way and coaches left and it took away that momentum. So to have Tim Skipper go in there as the acting head coach, you can already see the energy that he's bringing, the charisma he has, the connection he has with the players. He's coaching this game to win, but you've got a determined opponent. I learned in bowl games a long time ago, and Pat Hill, underscores this for us, and I saw it in his games. If he played a Power 5 opponent, his teams were up, they'd win, right? If he played a Group of 5 opponent, the chances weren't as great. He and I, for many years, would go do other bowl games for ESPN, and you'd be in there talking with the coaches and you'd get a feel, okay, this team wants to be here, that team doesn't. New Mexico State wants to be there. New Mexico State's going to have a huge crowd. It's not close. Albuquerque and Las Cruces are a long way apart, but they'll travel. And there are a lot of Aggie alums in the Albuquerque area, and that's going to be a hostile environment. It's going to be a road game, right? And that's a 10-win New Mexico State team that beat Auburn by 3 touchdowns.
Yeah.
So, this is not a light opponent. It's not a lightweight. They need to show up, and they need to show the red wave. Hey, this is who we really are. What happened the last three games, that's not who we are. It's disappointing. They had so many opportunities, but they can't change that now. What they can control is what they do next Saturday on the field.
And Coach Tedford's health, obviously, it should be the number one priority. We know the trajectory of the program. Like you mentioned, it could go one way, it could go another way. A lot of moving parts and questions about that. But, Coach Tedford, he's such an integral part of the community of Fresno, Fresno State football. We've watched him literally grow up as well, playing football up north. It wasn't that far away in high school, then becoming a Bulldog and now returning. We've always had a sense of love for Coach Tedford, even at Cal and Oregon. That's kind of our guy. So what does Tedford mean, and, this life-changing moment right now, moving forward for Coach Tedford, that should be most upon everybody's heart, correct?
Well, absolutely, right? First of all, you want him to be okay. Health is so much more important than football. He's got a wonderful wife and two boys and grandkids now, and he needs to be healthy. If he's healthy enough to coach, he's going to coach. That's what drives him. He loves this valley. He loves the sport. He's really good at what he does. And let's not forget, I know it's been 6 years since he showed up as the head coach, but what he did was unprecedented. No one had ever taken a team that won one game the year before and done what he did, which was 10 wins the next year, and then 12 in a conference championship the year after. It was the biggest turnaround in college football history, and he deserves so much credit for it. And he's not done, right? I mean, he shows up again last year, wins another title. This year, that's where it looked like it might be headed, and then the train went off the tracks. But if there's, you know, if it's feasible and wise for him to be back in the saddle, he's going to be back in the saddle. And I'd love to see it because he's great at what he does. Like I said, he's got an incredible attention to detail. He's got a mind that's just, you know, ridiculously detailed. Great guy, great bulldog, an all-timer.
He is, absolutely. And, you know, we talked a lot, Paul. There's been lots of chatter, right? I'm a fan as well. You know, I was a fan first and then got this gig. But, you know, from a fan's perspective, you hear a lot of chatter of what are the expectations of the program, of the Fresno State program, especially with realignment. You know, we go from the WAC to the Mountain West. And, you know, now with all the realignment, are we going to go into a Pac-10, Pac-12, whatever you want to call it? And now with all this crazy stuff, we go to the Big 10, Big 12. I mean, just kooky talk, right, sometimes. And the expectations of Fresno State Bulldog football, it's all over the board. Should we shoot for the stars? Yeah, of course. Should we just be satisfied with where we're at? Where are you in all of this with the expectations of where the program is or maybe where it should be?
Well, I think the answer to that, from my view, is complex. I mean, you should always shoot for the stars, no matter what it is. You know, maybe there's somebody out there is listening right now and they've got a challenge in their life and people are telling them, hey, what you're hoping for is just never going to happen. Okay, well, don't lower your aim, but maybe just let go of control, right? You can hope for the best and believe for the best and hope that one day you're going to get there, but not be devastated if it doesn't go exactly the way you want it to. But, you know, my belief is God's plans are always better than our plans. You could do everything you can to try to make something happen. It's probably not going to happen the way you thought it was. For Fresno State, you know, you have to be realistic. Other schools have more money. They have more advantages. They have more resources. What can we do here at Fresno State to be great? Pass and measure E in the spring will go a long way toward that, academically and athletically. That can completely change the university and this community if that gets enough support. But, you know, I think you have to make the most of what you have. Right now, they're in the Mountain West. You know, if in a couple of years they're in some reconstituted, you know, pack whatever that kind of looks like the Mountain West plus the Beavers and Cougars,
yeah,
maybe that's slightly better. But the exciting thing, next year you've got the college football playoff. And you start the season knowing that if you do everything you can do, there's a chance that you're going to play for a national championship. And that's never been the case before. So that is an exciting difference. And, you know, and we've seen in other sports that when the access is there, the Bulldogs can do it, right? Softball did it way back when. Track team did it. Tennis team did it. And, of course, in 2008, that was pretty special.
Yeah. Yeah, 2008 was very, very special. Talking with Paul Leffler, voice of the Bulldogs. Paul, I want to ask you about NIL transfer portal. I mean, gosh, who could have seen this coming? You know, all right, you know, talk about, hey, players need to be paid. It kind of went from that to where we are today. Only after, what, 3 or 4 years when this has been kind of a real thing, maybe a couple years, right? Where's Fresno State stand in all that? Are we able to compete against the big boys you mentioned? Now we got a shot in the years to come about playing in it for a national championship game, playing with the big dogs. Where are we at with the transfer portal and NIL? Do you think it's been a good thing for Fresno State? Is it something we can get better at, the transfer portal? I mean, it melts my brain at times. Where do we stand?
It does melt your brain. And it also, unfortunately, I think it erodes the connection between fans and programs, which ultimately is the lifeblood, right? If there are no fans, there's no Fresno State football. And when you look at some of these programs, I mean, take, for instance, let's look at basketball in the Mountain West this year, right? There's a basketball game today, 4 o'clock at the Save Mart Center. Like I said, high school students, wherever you go to high school, you get in free. There are a couple Mountain West basketball teams this year. Every player is new. I mean, there might be one walk-on that's back. Everybody else is brand new. So that, you know, it at some mid-majors is going to be the new normal with the transfer portal and NIL. As a fan, how do you form relationships with the team?
Exactly.
How do you build that connection? It's crazy. And to me, the biggest problem with the portal right now in football is the timing of that window opening. When you're having that open between the end of the regular season and a bowl game, and you're putting all those young men and all those coaches and all those fans in that position, I mean, the two teams that played for Mountain West Championship, neither one of them is going to have their quarterback in the bowl game. That's crazy. Why should people care about the bowl game now, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's great for the guys who get to play in those spots, but they need to fix that. There's a lot that needs to be fixed, and we'll see. You know, Charlie Baker, the NC2A president, put out that proposal. There may be some merit there. Unfortunately, I think it'll probably result in the haves having more and the have-nots having less, and that seems to be the trend we're heading in. But, you know, back to Measure E, that can make a big difference. That can help create some momentum, which is what it's all about.
I think the day and age of these four-year guys that we grew up loving and watching for, you know, every program around the nation, not only Fresno State, those days might be long gone, right? We root for players. We root for guys. I mean, you know, you think of like Will Hooker. I mean, think of back in the day, the Central coach. You mentioned a Central player, right? I mean, you watch these kids grow from a freshman, maybe red shirt, to all the way through their senior year, and I think that may be lost.
And I hope not, right? Yeah. Because really, ultimately, all of this is about connection. It's about relationships. It's about community. What's made Fresno State great when it's been great has been the community. It's been the Red Wave. It's been people, you know, working together. Hey, let's build a football stadium. Okay. That's the community that did that, right? Yeah. Did the same thing with the baseball park. You know, that's been the secret to Fresno State's success, and I think a lot of schools would echo that. So if you eliminate that connection, where's your success coming from?
Justin Hudson, basketball coach for Fresno State, and as you mentioned, playing at 4 o'clock today, and his program, a lot of talk about that as well. You know, your assessment of the season so far for Fresno State basketball is what?
Well, I think the jury's out. I mean, they're 4-4. They've played well at home. They're 3-1 at home. And they've got, you know, the next three games at home starting today at 4 o'clock against Pacific. There's talent on this team. Do they have chemistry yet? Not completely. But there's definitely more talent and depth this year compared to last year. The guys who did come back, and they're really only four, you know, main contributors that came back, they're better. I mean, Isaiah Hill's assist numbers are way up. Yeah. He's making better decisions. I think he's got some guys who can put it in the hole. Their three-point shooting is better. Is it consistent yet? No. But Xavier Ducell's been one of the best three-point shooters in the country the last few years, and he can make them. You know, if I'm going to that game today at 4 o'clock, if I'm a high school kid, and again, high school kids get in free today. So if you're a high school kid, you should be at the Save Mart Center today. And I think probably Fresno State's football recruits will be there. It's a big recruiting weekend. They've got 17 guys coming in. But I would go there to watch the dunks. The last home game, I lost count of how many dunks there were. They're running pick and roll. You've got 6'11 Eduardo Andre. You've got 6'11 Enoch Boachi. Both phenomenal athletes playing above the rim, throwing down these lobs. You know, Leo Colomerio goes up there and throws it down. This freshman, Isaac Tavares.
He's emerging, isn't he?
Coach Q calls him El Electrico because when you get on the floor, it's like this bolt of lightning. If he touches the ball, boom, it's like a beeline to the bucket on the other end. So if I'm a high schooler, I'd go just for some of the flavor, you know, some big-time dunks probably this afternoon at the Save Mart Center.
And Yap has really improved his game as well, hasn't he?
You know, he's gotten more consistent playing time, which I think has made the difference. Plus, you add in a Jalen Weaver, who I think can be an elite defender in the Mountain West. He's got the body for it. He's also not afraid to attack the basket. The pieces that he's working with this year are better. That said, it's a really good conference. Isaiah Stevens is one of the best players in the country. He's got Colorado State nationally ranked. Nevada hasn't lost. They've got a big physical point guard in Blackshear. New Mexico comes at you in waves of really fast guards who can get to the bucket. And then, of course, San Diego State was the national runner-up last year.
I sometimes forget that. I don't know why. Like, obviously, I knew when we watched it. Like, San Diego State, they made it all the way to the national championship. All right, Paul, we got a couple minutes before we hit a break. You're good for another segment after this, right?
You betcha.
All right. Yeah. Can't wait. All right. So, I'm just
disappointed we're not at the Paul Theater.
You had to throw that in. You've probably been waiting to say that all morning, too, haven't you?
When you have the chance, you got to go there.
You shot your shot. You shot your shot. All right. So I know you have an affinity for mascots, right?
Mm.
First thing you mentioned here was my Letterman's jacket, Los Banos grad. Okay, I thought I'd throw a couple quizzes at you.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, no, a couple softballs. So it'll be fine. I know that you would probably be 100 for 100 if I said mascots in the Central Valley. I know we added the Coast teams. and some teams.
Some new schools.
Yeah. I'm not going to get too crazy. But then I got a couple fun facts I think you and our listeners would really enjoy. All right. Los Banos Tigers, right?
Si, do you know
why the Tigers? You know the history of that?
I don't either.
I thought you might know. But
Before it was Tigers. Los Banos High School, it was Westside Union High School.
Okay.
I've never researched the origin of the tiger mascot. That's a good project. Well, I'm going to do that.
You got your animal mascots, right? And then you have mascots like the Emperors or the Crusaders or the Cavaliers. So, you know, yeah. I always curious why schools would choose an animal mascot. Like Selma's, they're the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay. Avenel.
Buccaneers.
The Buccaneers. How about Yosemite?
Badgers.
I love the Badgers. McLean, one of my favorites.
Highlanders.
The Highlanders. Yeah. If you Google McLean Highlanders and look at their logos, those are some cool logos. They're mascots.
Very detailed.
And, you know, bagpipes, obviously. And, you know, when my daughter was in band and she'd go to parades, I'd always love the Highlander band because they have some bagpipes in their front. They wear their Scottish kilts.
That's well they should. And we're glad the Buccaneers didn't take their nickname too literally, right?
Exactly.
Didn't need any sabers in the stands when Paul Williams was running up and down in blue.
That's right. Paul Williams, one of the great athletes from that area. All right. I know you got a heart for Fresno Christian. I got a heart for Emmanuel. We got Bakersfield Christian. What nickname do they share?
Los Aguilas.
The Eagles.
Yeah.
All right. Very scriptural, right? You always point to the scripture for Christian schools and Eagles. I find that a common thread.
Isaiah 40:31.
There it is.
All right.
How about Napomo? I'm going to go coast on you.
Ooh, I don't know Napomo. I don't think I've ever covered a Napomo game.
They're the Titans.
I know they've got a good restaurant there.
Jocko's in Napomo?
Yeah.
All right. Free ad for Jocko's. All right.
What was Napomo's again?
They're the Titans. Sorry.
Napomo Titans.
They're the Titans.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. There's two Titans in the section.
There are a couple. Yeah. Kalinga. They're this most famous one.
So Lon Simmons, great, you know, Hall of Fame baseball announcer. He told me that the first live radio report he ever did in the Central Valley when he worked in Fresno, he had to be on live from the Kalinga Horned Toad Derby. And he got on the air and he said, "I'm here live at the Kalinga Home Turd Derby." But, yeah, they're the Horned Toads, baby.
Spoonerize it. They are the Horned Toads, and their motto is, "Once a toad, always a toad." And the story goes that the school's nickname came from a 1933 race of reptiles held in the town. That's Horned Toad won.
They really do have a Horned Toad Derby there.
They do.
And fun fact, the first trophy I ever won, 4 years old, the May Day Fair in Los Banos, I was the frog jump champion. The frog that I caught on the canal bank, or that my dad probably caught for me, out jumped all the other frogs.
What was the name of the frog? Petey, something like that?
I think it was like Hoppy.
Hoppy.
Something like that, yeah.
All right, we got about 30 seconds here. I'm going to throw this out. Do you know Vintage up in Napa, their high school, what their nickname is?
The Crushers.
The Crushers with the grapes. Glendale down south. This one's a little bit tricky. Glendale.
High school.
Their football team and their other teams are actually different nicknames. Their football team is the Dynamiters. All the other teams are the Nitros.
I like that.
Isn't that cool?
How about Rhinelander, Wisconsin?
What do you got?
The Hodags. Dale Oquist, the pastor here at People's Church, he gave me a hat from the Rhinelander High School Hodags. Do you know what a Hodag is?
I don't.
It's like some mythical beast. It kind of looks like a dragon or something.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
In researching some of these other teams we play, you get some fun ones.
Yeah.
The Elkhorn Antlers or the Camas Papermakers. Their mascot's like this big paper dispenser.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got rolls of toilet paper coming out the front. It's kind of crazy.
Oh, my gosh. That is awesome.
Don't get me started on mascots.
I know. We got to hit a break. I did stump you. All right. We got to hit a break here, Paul. We're going to come back for more with Paul Leffler on 1430 ESPN.
Listen to Home Field Advantage Monday through Thursday at 3 p.m. In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Hour number two, Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. I am your host, Paul Metters. You can follow me on the Twitter machine, the X machine, I don't know, whatever you want to call it these days, at Paul Metters, PaulMeadors, live here at First String Sports on Blackstone Avenue, just south of Herndon, north of Sierra Avenue. This is the only place I would want to do my high school sports radio show in the Letterman's Jacket Room. I know our episode so far has been deviated a little bit from Fresno State, or some from high school, I should say. That's because we got Paul Leffler in the house, kind enough to join us for another segment before he heads on over to the Save Mart Center to prepare for tonight's basketball contest against the University of Pacific at 4 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Talk a little bit about Bulldogs in our other segment. If you missed that segment, you can go to 1430ESPNFresno.com under podcast, find Central Valley Sports Report. Boom, there, it'll be up. It'll be up, as well as past episodes. Paul, we just had a great conversation. I got a few texts in that break about our mascots, man. We could have talked about mascots for another half an hour.
Let's
for
go.
Darn sure. I know. We talked about high school sports a little bit, but you went to Los Banos, and your colors there, you had the Leffler Letterman's jacket as well, decorated with music and Valley Championship in baseball. That's pretty darn awesome. You got that over me. I did not win. We lost in double overtime in my section championship basketball game. We missed going to the state championship by a point. We had a 4-point lead, and we lost it. So anyway, the agony of defeat, right?
Well, the rest of that story is I was the starting pitcher in the championship game, walked two batters, and got pulled. But we as a team won the championship, so that's what matters, right? And then, if I ever come back on the show, I'm going to find that Letterman's jacket and wear it in here.
I can't wait. I can't wait to see that thing. Mine, I kind of look like Chris Farley, fat man in a little coat, right, when he's dancing around. That's kind of what I look like when I put mine on. I was a little bit smaller back then. I want to go back a little bit, Paul, with you. You know how you got started. You know, for me, I've always loved sports. I loved high school sports, and you know, this gig just came across kind of late in life for me. But started a little bit earlier for you. You loved sports as a kid, and Giants fan as well, right?
You bet. Grew up listening to Hank Greenwald call all those games. Yeah, and Lon Simmons.
So how did the love of being a broadcaster or talking about sports, where did that start?
You know, it's a story I tell a lot when I go and speak places. In fact, I'll probably share it. I'll be at the Mission Tuesday talking to their academy group down there. I talk about how God's plans are always better than mine. And my plan was I want to play sports, right? I want to play every sport. I want to play all the sports. I want to play for as long as I can. And my parents said, you're not playing football. And my grandpa was a doctor, treated too many football injuries, and I thought I could have been good at football, right? But something happened when I was 12. We were watching a 49er game. That's the glory days of the 49ers. You know, Montana to Rice, Roger Craig, Tom Rathman, Ronnie Lott, Randy Cross, all those great legends. And the announcer on the TV broadcast said something about my team, the 49ers. And he was wrong. So I was offended. I said, that guy doesn't know what he's talking about. And my dad laughed at me a little bit. Then he said, well, hey, if you think you can do better, maybe you ought to be a sports announcer. And even before that, they called me microphone man sometimes. We had like this record player in our living room with a microphone that would plug into it, and I'd announce the wrestling match that my dad would have with my brother or something every once in a while. But so, and then he did something about it. He said, get on your bike. So we ride our bikes a few blocks away to the home of this gentleman named Richard Rose, who did all the announcing in Los Banos. And my dad says, hey, my son thinks he might want to learn something about announcing. Can you show him the ropes? He says, yeah, show up with binoculars Saturday night and let's go. And a couple of weeks later, he pawned off the Pop Warner games on me, right? I think he was tired of doing those. So I started announcing Pop Warner football when I was 12, and I've been doing it one way or the other ever since.
And I have early memories of Fresno State. And actually, kind of similar to you, I found the audio, actually a friend that had it, in sixth grade, where I would report on the Lincoln Records into a little cassette player with a microphone.
I remember those, yeah.
Yeah, and I would report on the Lincoln records that were broken. So we would try to break records on Friday, you know, throwing for distance or a 100-yard dash, and I would be the little announcer guy. And I replayed that actually on air. I did it, I think, at the end of last year. And, man, let's just say that my voice was a lot higher back then than it is today. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. Yeah, I'm going to embarrass myself by playing this. But I did. And so that was kind of instilled my love of sports.
Well, you know, I have a story like that, too. The first compliment I ever got on my announcing was in Los Banos at that age. And a guy comes marching up to our little press box, which you can still see there in the remodeled Lofton Stadium, named for a former Bulldog football player who coached at Los Banos and won a bunch of championships, Carlisle Lofton. That box is still there. If you open up the door and look inside, you might have a look like this guy did. He opened up that door. He looked. There's five or six of us in there, and he makes eye contact with everybody in the room, and then he says, well, I don't know where she went, but when that girl comes back, tell her she's doing a great job announcing the game. So, yes, my voice was a little higher back then, too.
I'm going to have to dig that back up. It's on, like, my Google Drive, and maybe maybe play that again if you guys miss it. It's pretty funny. I mentioned my love of sports, and my first memories of watching the Bulldogs is like on Channel 53, KAIL, they play some basketball games and football games with Kevin Sweeney and, touchdown maker, Baker, the touchdown maker, and all these great Fresno State legends of the past. Do you have a first memory of when you, like, realize, hey, Fresno State, hey, that's pretty close to where I live. Hey, who are these Bulldogs?
You know, there's a couple that come to mind, and we didn't have a television in my house, so I didn't see the local news every night, but every once in a while I'd see it over at my grandparents' house. And I also, I had a paper route when I was a kid. I would deliver the Merced Sun Star, and then I found out I could make more money by going to a neighbor's house and getting there at midnight and folding all the copies of the Los Banos Enterprise, which went for free to everybody in town. So my hands would be black by the end of the night, but I would sit in the bed of his pickup and throw the papers out as we drove by whatever neighborhoods. You see some funny things in the middle of the night, right? Like pot-bellied pigs running across the road. You never know. But he had a poster in his garage of Fresno State football when Kevin Sweeney was, chasing after Doug Flutie's record and all that. Mm-hmm. So I remember listening to Bill Woodward, and since we didn't have a TV, I'd listen to the radio, and you'd hear Bill Woodward and John Anabo late at night calling whatever sport it was. And in 1988, when they were number one in the country in baseball, and that team went to Omaha, and since then I've gotten to know all those guys, and they're friends of mine, but those guys were larger than life.
Yes.
And then when they went back in 91, that was when I was playing high school baseball. We had a great pitcher named Sebastian Nazibal, and I used to call him Bobby Jones because Bobby was the best pitcher in the country in 91, right? And that actually became our verbal cue for him to throw over to first base because I was playing first and he was pitching because the other team didn't know that, why I was saying Bobby Jones. I said, come on now, Bobby Jones. Boom. He'd throw over. We picked about three or four guys off that year by calling him Bobby Jones. So those baseball teams, I think, were the ones that really, lit my fire.
Yeah, no, the 88, if people would ask me what my favorite Fresno State team of all time, football, basketball, baseball, 88. The larger-than-life guys. And, it was a thrill of mine, Paul, when Tom Goodwin came on my show and we chopped it up for a full hour. We're not that far off in age, but still they were larger-than-life.
And great guys.
Great guys.
Every single one of them, right? And what a testament to Coach Bennett that is, that those were the kind of people he produced in that program. And when 32 games in a row, will we ever see anybody do that again? I don't know. That's
probably
pretty
not.
Crazy.
Yeah, he's – open the Fresno B the next morning. It's 19 in a row, 20 in a row. Shablett hit another bomb, right?
Yep,
that's the way it was back then. And here you are, Paul, talking about these great Fresno State teams of the past and how started your career in broadcasting, and now you're the voice of the Bulldogs. And I know you don't take it lightly. You take it very serious. And it's very evident how you speak of the Bulldogs and your pregame, postgame, and your in-game calls are amazing, and it reaches far and wide for sure. And I've always wanted to know, out of the three, and I've announced all three on a smaller scale, high school level, football, basketball, baseball, where do you most feel you're in your element, what you most enjoy?
That's a tough question. I do get asked that a fair amount. We once got to announce a wrestling match on the deck of the USS Midway in San Diego too. That was kind of fun. That was a challenge. I love them all for different reasons. Like tonight, Coach Q and I will be calling basketball. 4 o'clock at the Save Mart Center. High school students get in free. Basketball's fun because you have to keep up, right?
Yeah.
It's such a fast game. There's so much to describe. And how much do you describe? And I think in all the sports, there's a trend these days to hear what I would call a TV call on radio. On TV, you're captioning the action, right? You don't need as many words. On radio, you're talking to somebody who can't see. I always think back to my dad. My dad died 25 years ago, but the last couple of years of his life, he was blind. He couldn't see, right? So how would I explain this to my dad? Because I know he can't see it. And that's what I'm shooting for in basketball. So you're going to hear a lot of words in a short amount of time. but that's a challenge. That's fun, you know. And all the sports, the rush you get from describing something as it happens has always been a better feeling for me than sitting on the anchor desk and rehashing highlights from before, right? Football, so much rides on every down. You get one of those critical third downs or even a fourth down. And then the way the stadium reacts. I mean, when you got 40,000 people at Valley Children's Stadium, you know, screaming because something crazy just happened, you can feel that from your toes. That said, you know, basketball's fun for the pace. Football's fun for, you know, the grandeur of it. Baseball's the best radio sport. Just the medium of radio fits baseball like no other sport. It fits like a glove. You can tell the stories. You can rise and fall with the action. There are so many things that are happening that some people might not recognize. There's so much context. You have so many more games, so there's more time to flesh it out. And we've seen some pretty special things in Fresno State baseball over those, well, quarter century now that I've had that privilege.
Man after my own heart. And I agree wholeheartedly with that. With football, basketball, your eyes are usually have to be on the action. It's tough to divert your eyes. Everyone, you know, if you're a Carlo guy like me, I could look at the bench. I could look at the sidelines more, right? Yeah. I could have that perspective. But baseball, you're able to breathe. You're able to tell a story. You could look in the dugouts. You could watch the bullpen. You could see the little nuances from coaches as well a little bit more. That's awesome. I want to – so you've had the privilege too, Paul, of calling games for watching Pat Hill coach. Now you have him in the booth, and I have as well. He's an amazing guy, and I got to be honest, I was intimidated calling a few games with him. I'm like, I don't want to sound like an idiot. I next to Coach Hill, he's going to correct me first of all or punch me in the arm if I say something that's a little off here. Moving from the sidelines to now being next to you and getting to know him more personally, I've seen a different side of Pat than maybe I thought that he was. Mm-hmm. And he's a genuine guy, has a heart of gold. Wherever he could run for mayor anywhere in many different towns, and he could win the race. You know, we go to high school games. Everyone loves Coach Hill. What are some ways that you've seen Coach Hill interact with the community that maybe most people don't know, or with his family, or a kind word here and there? You know, players have said, hey, Coach Hill, we had some knockdown trackouts during the season. We didn't see eye to eye, but then they figured it out later. Are there some other stories or things that come to mind thinking about Coach Hill?
You know, I think everything that you said points to a quality of Pat Hill that, to me, really defines him. And maybe you want to call it integrity, which would be, you know, you're the same all the time. What you see on the outside is what's on the inside. Maybe it's character. Maybe I think the word I would pick is he's authentic. Pat Hill is Pat Hill. He's not trying to be anyone else. There's nothing phony about that man. He's going to tell you how he feels, and he's going to mean it. And, you know, if you want to be connected to someone, have a relationship with someone, which as a head football coach, you have a relationship with the community and the fan base, there is no substitute for authenticity. I mean, that guy has lived, breathed, you know, lived and died Bulldog football for decades. He cares so much. And I think that was the hardest thing for me, because I knew him pretty well before we worked together, having covered all those teams and, you know, even before I started announcing him on the radio. To see, you know, the misconceptions people had at the end of his coaching tenure, and then to see him come back, be embraced again, and, you know, him experience some healing. He doesn't take himself too seriously, but he takes the right things very seriously, if you know what I mean. But he's just so authentic, and he, you know, does a lot of things for a lot of people that he's not looking for credit or attention. So I don't want to rat him out, you know, but if there's somebody that needs a helping hand, he's finding a way to make their day. And that's not just locally. I got an even broader perspective of that when he and I would go do those bowl games for ESPN, because we'd be on these conference calls with a coach from North Dakota, and they're like, is this the Pat Hill? You know, they're like, this guy's a big deal. When he said he'd play anybody, anytime, anywhere, every coach around the country is like, man, I want to be like that guy. And he's one of us, you know. He's one of our treasures here in the Valley, and I'm sure he'll say some things that make you treasure him on Saturday in New Mexico.
I can't wait. And again, your pregame and in-game and postgame with Coach Hill's, I just love it. I stick my little AirPods in and walking back from Valley Children's Stadium listening to you guys, and pretending I'm hearing the other conversations, you know, with my friends in the other ear, but really intent and listening to you guys. Is it true? You guys really throw airplanes out the window? And I mean, you mentioned it on air, so it's no
secret.
Well,
I don't mention it on air. He mentioned it on air.
Oh, got it. Okay.
That is a tradition of ours. You know, when you're in the post-game show, everybody else is clearing out of the stadium. You're there probably 40 minutes after the end of the game. And that is kind of fun to see. You know, it's just a science experiment. How heavy is the air? How far can a paper airplane go? And there are a couple places where we've made it onto the field.
And you got a better shot than Coach Hill, right?
Well, he doesn't. So that's like the hot dog race. Have you ever seen him compete in the hot dog race?
No.
He just announces it.
Yeah.
So that's the paper airplanes, you know. He just likes to make fun of me doing it. But that's all right. We love him for it.
Absolutely. And we mentioned a little bit, Paul, some great Fresno State legends of the past. And we haven't mentioned Aaron Judge yet. Mm-hmm. You know, we had the special ceremony a few weeks back. You know, he's literally a larger-than-life persona, and he loves his roots as well. You know, we claim him as our own, even though he grew up in Linden, went to high school there. But, I mean, he's Bulldog born, Bulldog bred. How great is it to see Aaron Judge and, you know, to win win all these awards and the 62. I mean, 61 was such a revered number for us mm-hmm. growing up. And mm-hmm. for Aaron Judge, Fresno State, to now hit 62, it's just incredible. What do you love about Aaron?
And to do it the right way, right? No shortcuts. Sure. He's the real deal. You know, I have two teenage daughters, and they're not huge into sports. They love Formula One racing now. But there's only one athlete that I've ever said, you know what, I need you to come out and meet this guy. And it was Aaron a few years ago when he came and did a camp here. I said, I want you guys to meet Aaron because everything he says is authentic. You know, he's an example. He's a role model. He carries himself the right way. He cares about the right things. I really want you guys to meet him. And they had met him when he played here, but, you know, now he's a Yankee and he came back. You know, next month I'll be in New York with him at his fundraiser, emceeing that. And he and his parents, they're just, you know what I said about Pat Hill, they're authentic. And one thing I really respect about Aaron is you look at him physically, right? He's a freak, right? Who's 6'7", 250 pounds with that kind of athleticism? Very few people ever. Mike Bates will call him Dave Winfield Jr., you know, when he showed up. But he's done things that Dave Winfield never done. He's done things that no baseball player has ever done consistently. I really think he has a chance to be the greatest baseball player of all time. And it's not just what he does with the bat, right? Look, my favorite thing to watch him do is casually reach down, pick up a ball on the warning track, look like he's playing catch with his buddy and gun down a guy at home plate. He's just so gifted. But it's his humility and his work ethic that sets him apart. He's known he was going to be great since he was a teenager, but he's worked as hard as anybody else. He's never gotten a big head. I think his mom, Patty's done a great job of helping him stay humble. You know, now he's married, and he and Samantha have a couple little dogs. He's got these other priorities, but he's as driven and focused and consistent as anybody you'll ever find, and he treats people the right way. So, you know, when you hear him say that his priorities are faith and family and then baseball, that's not a line. That's not a facade. That's the real deal. And I really think he's going to do things in baseball that we haven't seen yet. They're going to be even better than what he's done. And just think the last 2 years, MVP and off-the-field MVP, the Clemente Award.
Correct.
Find me another guy who does that.
Yeah. And, you know, they added Juan Soto talking about the Yankees, so that's going to be a formidable lineup as well. It's going to be pretty scary. Was there a moment, Paul, I want to go back to Aaron Judge a little bit. You know, you hear about Aaron Judge, he's 6'7", there's going to be holes in his swing, there's never been a guy this tall, maybe Richie Sexton, if people remember that name, big old tall guy, and, you know, a lot of holes in the swing. Was there a moment where you saw at Fresno State, you're like, this guy's going to be a big leaguer? Was there maybe an outside curveball that he took to right center for a home run? Was there a specific moment you thought, okay, he's the real deal?
Well, you know, Mike Batesel is pretty famous as a sandbagger, you know, like, he's not going to tell you his team's great. Yeah. He's going to tell them they're going to really struggle. If you pay attention to Mountain West football, Troy Calhoun is the ultimate sandbagger at Air Force. His team's never going to be any good, and they're always winning 10 games and going to a bowl. But Bates is usually that way. But when Aaron Judge came into the program, you were hearing about him in the fall, about what an athlete he was. And he tells a story, you know, he lines him up to play flag football in the outfield, and he's the biggest guy, and nobody can get his flag because he's that good of an athlete. But his freshman year, you know, Rahel Canto and I are calling all those games, and we would marvel at the fact that he would never pull a ball. everything was up the middle the other way. The first home run he hit curled around the right field foul pole. He only hit two home runs that freshman year. Sophomore year, Stanford's coming in, number one in the country, with the number one overall pick in the next draft, Mark Appel. That was the projection, right? Friday night game, first time up. Appel, who throws, you know, 98, 99 miles an hour. He challenged him with a fastball, and that ball hasn't come down yet. I mean, Aaron just crushed it. Next time up, same thing. And that one went even further. So I think, to me, that night, that Friday night, against a guy who was supposed to be the class of college baseball, a year after he didn't pull a ball all season, now he pulls two 98-mile-an-hour fastballs over the wall and left, you're saying, okay. And that was part of Mike Batesel's coaching of him, was take away the outer half of the plate, they're going to have to come in, and then that's what you do with it. But Aaron is so disciplined and so patient, he never gets ahead of himself. That's why I think his best baseball is still in front of him.
I agree. Great stuff. Is there a play, Paul, that's etched in your memory? I mean, obviously that's etched in your memory. All right. And, you know, the Mountain West Championship with Rivers taking that pitch from Marquez, right? Cam's call as well on the sidelines. Let's go. All that stuff.
Let's
right?
go.
Yeah, everybody in Fresno was cheering for that one. That's something that's etched, and that was fairly recent. But 2008, we haven't really talked that much about the baseball team as well. But is there one specific play that you could say, it doesn't even have to be a great play or a game-winning play, or maybe there's a moment on the field. Is there something that sticks out to you?
You know, there's so many. That team was so incredible, and what they did is so powerful. I think for us to look back on it has inspirational value. And always will. I just saw Sean Bone Steele the other night. He's here in town. And we were talking about the series, you know, the Super Regional at Arizona State.
Oh.
Arizona State was 38-3 at home that year. They had 15 major league draft picks. And Fresno State had to win 2 out of 3 on their field. And I was, you know, reminding Sean, or asking him if he remembered, he got put in there with 2nd and 3rd, nobody out against that lineup. And yet he got out of that jam, right? Chris Tomlinson, a guy who's got an ERA over 7 for most of the year, comes into those games and strikes out future big leaguers Ike Davis and Brett Wallace, or gets them out, you know. It was guys stepping up to that opportunity. And as far as just mind-blowing plays, I mean, there were some bombs along the way. The way Justin Wilson pitched in the championship game was unreal. But probably the craziest play or most unbelievable play in my mind in Omaha was a couple of Valley High School products, and that team was loaded with them. But it was against North Carolina, and there was a foul ball up the first baseline, and Alan Amati, who never gets talked about enough on that team, was such a key part of that national championship. One of the most athletic first basemen. He's a middle infielder playing first base. He ranges over, makes this great catch up against the tarp to get the out, and then flips inside out, and from his knees throws a laser to Mendoza at third base, who goes back into his Turlock High School football, you know, Turlock Bulldog days, and just lays the glove and his forearms and all his body weight down on a future big leaguer named Dustin Ackley to turn one of the craziest double plays I've ever seen. And that play to me was the one that's like, wow, if they're going to make a play like that, what could possibly stop them?
Bunch of gamers. That's all those guys were. And, you know, Tommy, running into Tommy every once in a while. He's big into baseball cards. This guy comes down the valley, sells baseball cards, got a few arcade machines. So I always love running into Tommy.
Have you shown him your secret vault?
Okay.
I asked him that. Yeah, he's a big video game and baseball card guy. Speaking of, have you seen the new Fresno State football NIL trading cards?
I saw those. They were up on, I got the link from the email sent from Fresno State. I think you go to the website and buy those things.
Save Mart. You can get them at any local Save Mart.
$9.95, I believe, right?
Yeah, I think you get 14 cards, and they have some autograph cards interspersed. I was impressed when I saw them. You know, and I grew up collecting cards.
Yeah.
And when I saw those, I was like, wow, they did a really nice job on this. So if you're looking for stocking stuffers,
perfect.
That's a good one.
Perfect. All right, Save Mart. Go check those out. All right, Paul, you got a couple minutes, or you got to go?
What time is it?
We got 31.
Yeah, I got a few.
All right. All right. Hidden talent. I've heard you ask this question to some Fresno State football guys in your interviews, right? So, and you can't say spelling.
Yeah.
So we know that's part of you.
But it's not
you
golf, I'll tell you that. It's not golf.
Nobody wants to play Scrabble with you, right? All right. You got a hidden talent that most people would not know about.
Well, I know we have some awesome taco trucks in Fresno, right, that I can't compete with. But my daughters have always told me that they thought I should open my own taco truck, that they liked my my tacos, my homemade salsa, all that. I'm a little out of practice. One thing I've been doing more lately that I hadn't done in quite a while is writing some poetry, doing a little rhyming. You know, I think there's something there where if God puts a thought on my heart and I see some image and it brings something to mind, I'll just play around for 15, 20 minutes and have a poem that hopefully means something to somebody and encourages them. So I've been doing a little more of that lately.
You've posted some of those online in the past. I think you've read a few on there as well.
Well, back in the day, doing local TV, I used to do our scoreboards that way.
You know,
and I would get the celebrities to introduce it. You know, like, I'm Bo Jackson. Do you know what time it is? Prime time, prime time. And then I'd rhyme all the scores together. That really embarrassed my wife, but I had some fun with it. Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, Paul, this has been a real treat for me and hopefully for all the listeners out there, getting insight into Fresno State football, basketball, into your life as well. We've become friends in the last couple of years, and we spoke back-to-back. You said Paul Theater, right? And we spoke at a men's conference back-to-back and shared your heart and shared my heart. And so, you are the voice of the Bulldogs, but you're much, much more to a lot of people around here in the Central Valley. And I really appreciate you taking the time here at First String Sports on your way to Save Mart Center. So thanks.
Well, I'm used to be the one asking the questions, so it's kind of different answering the questions. But you ask good questions, so thanks, Paul, and thanks for what you're doing. I mean, high school sports is such a big part of this valley. I loved all the years in local TV, bringing attention to high schools that didn't always get it. You get to know so many people that way, and you and 1430 are doing a great job of drawing attention to people who deserve it. And then what's fun, too, is you're going to blink, and 10 years from now, those guys whose games you did are going to come back, and it'll be like, you know, Bernard Berry and saying, hey, remember when you came to Atwater High? Or you remember when you saw Lance Briggs take care of us up in Elk Grove? That's fun, and I love what you guys are doing, so keep up the good work.
Thank you. Appreciate you. I'll be listening 4 o'clock, Fresno State Pacific at the Save Mart Center. Go to the game, and I'll be listening. Thanks, Paul. Really appreciate it.
You bet.
All right, coming up after break, we'll be chopping it up with Gabe Camarillo. Another local guy has got great insight to Fresno State and high school sports. Will be on the call tonight for Clovis West and Inkerdom in the championship game. They'll probably go on air about 6:45 for a 7 o'clock tip-off. We're talking with Gabe after the break on 1430 ESPN.
Listen to the Los Angeles Lakers on your local sports leader, 1430 ESPN.
Welcome back to Central Valley Sports Report. I'm your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports. What a great time with Paul Leffler, chopping it up about Fresno State, his history with the Bulldogs, his first memories, Aaron Judge, Coach Pat Hill, just really, really good stuff. And he talked a lot about authenticity with Coach Hill. What you see is what you get, and Paul's as authentic as it gets. And I have a funny story about Paul that I didn't bring up. I know we'd have a good chuckle about it. But back in 2014 when Fresno State played at USC, remember that game? And I was just starting out at the Clovis Roundup newspaper. I just written up for them for like, I don't know, 4 months or so. Probably only wrote 4 articles. And I was getting Fresno State's emails from their athletic department. And I got one about getting credentialed for that game for Fresno State at UCLA or USC football. I'm like, shoot, what do I got to lose? So I went online, filled it all out, put my credentials in there. And about 5 hours later, I get an email response saying, you have been accepted for Fresno State in USC. Your credential has been approved. I'm like, oh my gosh, what the heck do I do next? So I made plans. I got a hotel room. Actually went with a buddy. And, decided to write an article for the Clovis Roundup at USC for their game against Fresno State. And I get there pretty darn early, I don't know, about 2 hours early, go up to the elevator, and you can imagine, right, the Coliseum, the press box that they have there. It wasn't like Fresno State's press box, let's just put it that way. And there was a sheet of where you're supposed to sit, and I was seated on my left, I should say, were NFL scouts. On the right were all the Fresno B. I think there was somebody else locally from Fresno as well. So, oh, my gosh, this is real. My name's right there. I'm going to cover the game. I didn't know anybody. I had met Paul Leffler maybe one time. And I saw a familiar face. It was Paul Leffler, and it was Cam Worrell. They were dressed like Paul was right now in his suit, obviously representing Fresno State, looked really good. And, you know, I'm just trying to make conversation with people. So I'm like, I'm going to go up, and I'm going to start talking to Paul Leffler and Cam. And Cam didn't know me back then. And Paul Leffler is holding a drink, right? Unlimited beverages. They got this great spread of these sandwiches and cookies that I may or may not have stuffed in my backpack for the trip home. But there's Paul making conversation. And I talk with my hands a lot, kind of like what I'm doing now. And I'm talking. There's people are starting to come in now, all the big wigs from the LA Times and whatnot. And sure enough, my hands flail away, and I knock the drink right out of Paul Leffler's hand, spill it on him, spill it all over the floor. But, like, everything was in slow motion. Oh, my gosh, what an absolute noob I felt like. I went to the bathroom, quickly got some paper towels. I run back on my hands and knees picking this up. Paul and Cam had jetted already. So, yeah, so that's me. So that's how my career and the big-time career, I guess, started at Fresno State, was spilling a drink all over Paul Leffler and looking like a total moron. So that's I'm sure Paul would laugh about it now. I did mention it once, and he kind of chuckled out of the side of his mouth. But, yeah, anyway, Paul is a great guy. He's as genuine as it gets. So I'm bringing on Gabe right now, and he's probably shaking his head like, man, Paul, for being an older guy, you sure look like a chump, I'm sure, in that moment. Gabe, have you had any awkward moments like that in the industry where you just felt like, oh, my gosh, what did I just do?
Nothing of that level, but I'm not thinking that, though. I'm not thinking, oh, what this chump. No, you've definitely carved yourself out, what was that, a decade ago? Since then, I mean, think about all the stuff that you've seen and watched, all the Fresno State teams that have won or lost, and the high school basketball and football that you've watched since 2014, right? I'm thinking about a constant, though, and I hate to break the subject, but hasn't Clovis West basketball always been good during those times from 2014 and now, in boys and girls?
Well, I mean, starts with Coach Wahlberg. Before that, Steve Cleveland, a lot of people don't remember, but Cleveland was a coach at Clovis West, and Wahlberg, and, of course, Coach Tom Ulrich as well. But the history certainly runs deep in that gyms, and I think we mentioned on the air, Gabe, or maybe off the air last night, if these walls could talk, the moments that they could share, the double overtime games, those great Clovis West teams of the past when Tyson Chandler came to town, right? People talk about that, and you know, the great teams of recent, Cole Anderson, who would have been the all-time Central Section leading scorer if it wasn't for COVID and losing all those games. But I mean, when you walk into the Clovis West gym, Gabe, you get that sense, you get that feeling, don't you?
Yeah, and I was thinking about it last night when it was another Wahlberg special. They pull away in the fourth quarter, and they do it with hustle and heart and defense and rebounding and, of course, a couple key threes. I was like, okay, so this is why they won like over 88% of the games that Wahlberg's coached in since he came back in 2016. It's the same formula, and it's the same ability to get these players playing together when they're like 10 years old. And then by the time they're 17, 18 years old, like Jackson Young and Zach Shohan and DJ Stickman, I know he's a year younger than them, but they're all in the same group that's played together for several, several years now. And it looked like that when it got really close, when they got a two-point game in the fourth quarter, they didn't panic. They just hit a big shot. Young hit that three, and then the rest was history. They went on another 15-3 run.
Yeah, they look. This team, I got to say, Gabe, is one of the best teams that Wahlberg has had, if not the best team. I know they got the Central Section championship a few years back, but this team is locked and loaded. And one of the things, too, Gabe, that I wanted to mention is, you know, the culture and these kids playing together since they were young. And we saw that a little bit last night. Coach Wahlberg, you know, he waits to the last moment. He emerges from his office there on the side of the gym into his basketball attire, and he emerges from that, and he walks to his side, to his bench, and he gives knuckles to these little Clovis West kids, about 6, 7, 8 years old. They're wearing the Clovis West hoodies, so it's embedded into the culture of Clovis West and what it means to be a hustling Eagle. It's clearly evident on the court. And you know, we saw that in the first half, and you know, Memorial made that really good run to cut it to two. But from then on, Clovis West just took over.
Yeah, and I think that recipe works, but you saw San Joaquin Memorial last night. They did make it a two-point game, and they've done it with a different type of recipe, right? They don't have the feeder school like Clovis West has. They have to kind of get talent from different parts of the Valley. So you got Julius from Kalinga and Sajin Sadu from Edison Computech and Jay Davis from Clovis West. But it works, and I think there's something to be said about Ross's ability for San Joaquin Memorial to get them to gel immediately. Like you heard Paul Leffler mention about the transfer portal and how some college basketball teams have entirely new rosters. Like Fresno State has 8 new guys on this year's basketball team that they have to gel together. And he mentioned the chemistry isn't really there right now for Fresno State. Whereas for a San Joaquin Memorial, I'll tell you what, Paul, they looked like they were pretty in sync. They knew when to get Abram Potts the ball and when to hit those big threes, and they knew when to give Dre Davis the ball down low and he can do his thing on the low block. So I feel like Memorial approaches it a different type of way, roster building. They don't have the feeder schools. They kind of get the transfers, but they always win every year. I mean, Ross has had 8 straight 20-win seasons, so I think Clovis West does it a really good way, but you also got to say there's other different ways to build a winner.
No, there is, and we got. I need to mention too, Clovis West. One of their missing pieces from last year was a big guy, rim protector, somebody that could block shots or alter shots. And I got firsthand look this week at Chris Boudreau, 6'9" transfer. He's only a junior, so he's going to have another year as well. He was a little bit better than what I thought. I got to be honest, Gabe, and he did a good job. Had a couple really nice dunks. One alley hoop dunk where he electrified the crowd. He's going to be a big presence for the Golden Eagles this year.
Yeah, big transfer get for Clovis West. You mentioned it last year. Kaden Hamilton had 16 and 18 in the section championship, and I think he, not Toon Day, but he was probably the biggest reason Clovis West lost last year in the Division I final, because there was no one that could get boards over Hamilton. And that's been such a big thing I've noticed about high school basketball, watching it this week at Clovis West. If you rebound the ball, you're going to win the game. Like, for instance, Bullard struggled against Endercombe rebounding the ball. Endercombe got these offensive boards like crazy, had these second and third and fourth chances to score. That's why I believe Endercombe was able to overcome a 48-42 deficit, I think, midway through the fourth quarter, or else it's Bullard facing Bakersfield Christian last night. But Endercombe rebounds the ball like crazy. They did it against Bullard. They did it again last night in the semifinal against BCHS. BCHS has 2 of the best guards in the Valley, but it doesn't matter if after you miss one shot, you're not going to get the ball back. Endercombe cleans up the glass really well, and so now I'm talking about tonight's game. Can Clovis West keep rebounding the ball against an Endercombe team that has 4 players either 6'7" or taller?
No, they do. It's going to be a big challenge for the Golden Eagles. And, yeah, the length of Endercombe, I think there's one set of brothers, and they obviously look alike in the big old poofy hair. There's another kid that looks almost in the same mold. It could be triplets, but their hands are going to be very, very active. I think if Clovis West, you know, like they're known to do, if they hit a couple threes, they're going to be able to open up the court a little bit more, aren't they?
I believe so. But Endercombe has those brothers, Malachi and Makai Johnson. Makai is 6'10". Malachi is 6'9". Like, they look like twins almost with the same hairdo, right?
Yeah.
And then you got Bryce Buchanan, who's 6'8". And probably the best one of them all is the 6'7" star, Taylen Goodman, who dropped 31 points last night. So those are your 4 dudes that are 6'7" or taller. And then you consider Clovis West, by comparison, just has 6'9" Chris Boudreau. And I believe the next tallest player that plays significant minutes is 6'2" for Clovis West. So, yeah, it's going to be reminiscent of last year's Clovis West TMI Episcopal game. If you think about the Nike Championship last year, TMI got all the boards. They had a big guy. I think it's a guy who's probably playing college basketball right now. I know he had offers Division I-wise. But TMI was able to win the battle inside, and it forced Clovis West to win that game in overtime. I wonder if it's going to be that close. Having said that, I saw Endercombe struggle against Bullard's press. Bullard pressed Endercombe, forced these ugly turnovers for Endercombe. They just threw the ball out of bounds. They couldn't get the ball across the center line. Bullard presses well. Clovis West presses elite. And I think if Clovis West can press, Endercombe will turn the ball over a lot, and that could help the Golden Eagles score some more points.
I agree. Let's talk. We'll be on the call tonight, Gabe, at 7 o'clock. We're going to go on about 6:45. Does that sound good?
That does sound good to me.
Sounds good to me, too. All right. I kind of think of the boys' basketball right now in tiers. I think Clovis West and St. Joe would be in the upper tier. Then you got Clovis North and San Joaquin Memorial. Then maybe Bakersfield Christian to see how they respond against Memorial. That's going to be a really good game at 5:30 before ours. Buller's going to be really good by playoff time to get some of their transfers eligible. I think the day after Christmas, so when league play comes around, they're going to be a very formidable team. And then Clovis East, they're always the mystery team because they go and play in these other tournaments. We're not able to see them until league starts for the most part. But is that kind of how you break it down? Any other teams you might want to think to join the fray?
I'll piggyback on Coach Roz's assessment last hour. The CMAC is probably better than the track this year in boys basketball, just from top to bottom. Like Clovis West and Clovis North, widely accepted as top five teams, and then San Joaquin Memorial is also in the top five from the CMAC. But then you look 6 through 10, and I would probably put Edison, since they're playing in the Lloyd Williams Shootout Championship tonight against Paraclete. Great game for the Edison Tigers, by the way, and a great showing in that event in North Bakersfield. So you got to put Edison in there playing in the championship tonight. You got to put Bullard in there. Man, they were a few shots away from beating this really good Intercom team. And then they maybe beat Bakersfield Christian last night. So Bullard's going to be really talented. And when they get Dalen Felder, they get even better. Sanger. Oh, man, Sanger. They fell short to Paraclete in the semifinals last night at the Lloyd Williams Shootout. But they have some interesting wins. They beat Central for one, and Central beat Centennial of Bakersfield, who last night lost to Sierra County by just 10 points. If you lose to Sierra County by 10 points, I mean, Clovis North lost to Sierra County by how much, Paul? Like 40?
Yeah.
Centennial Bakersfield 39. Is really good. Wow. And Sanger beat a team that beat them. So Sanger's going to be in the CMAC as well. 1 through 4, I like that 1 through 4 better than the tracks 1 through 4. Although I will say this, I think Clovis is one more scorer away from being third in the track this year. If they have one more scorer to go with Jackson Scarborough and Dillabay Allison, I think Clovis High could beat Central, Buchanan, and Clovis East in the track.
Well, Clovis, they played San Joaquin Memorial tough for three quarters before falling 63-50. So, yeah, Cougars, they look pretty strong as well. Been fun to catch up with Coach John Hines and the Cougars program. Got an update, Gabe. Strathmore, how about this? They are up 21-7 early in the first quarter in their state championship game. Go Spartans in that one. How cool is that?
Really cool. Jacob Poole, Bryson Bias, all these senior Spartans, that's the secret sauce to their success. And you can say that about the other teams too today playing in the state football championships. Danny Gonzalez has 8 passing touchdowns, 7 rushing touchdowns, and just 1 interception in these 6 playoff games. He's the Mission Oak quarterback. Kenny Jackson, also a senior, playing really well at running back and in the secondary. And then how about Central Valley Christian and their superstar seniors? Brent Cruz, Tyler Hughes, the offensive lineman of the year for the Tri-County Conference. And then Bryson Donaldson, who he's the only Fresno State Bulldog not making an official visit. That's a commit. But, you know, I think that's a good excuse to not make your official visit to Fresno State. You kind of got a big game to play if you're Bryson Donaldson.
Yeah, and again, he's 347 yards. If he gets that tonight, which, heck, the streak that Donaldson is on right now, I would not put that out of the question. He would become the Central Section rushing leader in a season. What a great story that guy is. How about Lewis Franklin to Buller as their new head coach, Gabe? What are your thoughts about that?
Well, in the world that we live in now, and, you know, you might like it, you might dislike it, you have to accept it. Transfers happen because of coaching changes. Dylan Gabriel left Oklahoma to go to Oregon for the very simple fact that Jeff Lebby went from Oklahoma OC to Mississippi State head coach. So, yeah, quarterbacks transfer based off of coaching changes, and if Lewis Franklin is going to Bullard High School, well, his son, Tyler Franklin, was the backup quarterback for Clovis West. I believe he's currently on the Clovis West boys basketball team, but why would he stay at Clovis West when his dad's the head coach at Bullard High School? You could assume that Tyler Franklin would be a likely candidate to go to Bullard, but Bullard already has his freshman quarterback that's highly rated and named Jaron Mao. So what does Jaron Mao do? Does he sit 2 years behind Tyler Franklin? Does he go to a different school? This is a domino effect, and you might not like the fact that kids won't stay where they're planted, but things change. Coaches move. You might have a quarterback come in that might have a favored advantage over you. You know, Tyler Franklin's dad's the head coach. I think that's a favorite advantage for Tyler Franklin. I think Jaron Mao might be thinking about leaving. I'll just say that, and I'll leave it there.
Yeah, there's a big change going on at Bullard, the new era with Lewis Franklin being named the head football coach, Gabe. Okay, we got about another minute here before we sign off. A lot of talk with Fresno State football with Paul Leffler. Really good to hear his insights. In your mind, how important is this bowl game, right? Lose, devastating way to end the season. Win could be a little momentum and trajectory, and heck, who knows, maybe Tim Skipper might be named the permanent head coach. Lots of question marks going into next week's game.
Definitely, and we're going to spend all week next week. I'll probably have you want to talk about it, Paul. What does this game mean? Does it mean anything at all if you lose this bowl game? Does it mean a lot at all if you win this bowl game? This probably is the most meaningful bowl game for Fresno State since the 2013 Las Vegas Bowl. I'm going that far. Yeah, that Las Vegas Bowl, it was big because you faced USC. You could have won 12 games. Not since then have we seen a bowl game mean so much. And I know Tedford, as long as he's been the head coach, they've won all their bowl games. He's not going to be on the sideline, and that's exactly why this is a big bowl game. If Skipper wins it and the team looks energetic, Skipper could be the next head coach for Fresno State, whether it's next year or the following year or in the years to come. If they lose this bowl game, it's another 2005. It's another 8-5 year, and you're really wondering what will this team look like in 2024 if they lose.
All right, 2:45 tip-off. That's next week, so it'll be after the show, which will be my last one. I'll hit a couple weeks off before we come back in January. Gabe, we'll see you in a few hours, my friend. Again, full Bulldogs playing at 4 o'clock at Save My Center. Thank you to everybody out there for listening. Thanks to Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating, First String Sports. Of course, Gabe Camarillo, Jorge Rodriguez, who helps me here at First String, Brad Rosnowski, head coach at San Joaquin Memorial, and Paul Leffler for coming on the show today. We'll talk to you guys next week. And have a great weekend.